This What's Working with Cam Marston podcast is brought to you courtesy of Michelob Ultra Beer.
They say consistency is the key to success. They weren't wrong. So how about grabbing a beer that's consistently smooth, consistently refreshing, and consistently light? You might just find that the road to success can be pretty enjoyable. Michelob Ultra, the perfect balance of taste and refreshment, and only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Let's light this candle, as that astronaut once said. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is the show designed to bring you the workplace, the workforce, and the marketplace trends shaping the workplace, the workforce, and the marketplace around you. I try to find guests that are going to have insights into what's going on out there so that after we've met them and listened to them for a little while, they'll give us some ideas on how to do whatever it is that we do just a little bit better. What's Working is brought to you by the Alabama Center for Real Estate, housed in the Culver House College of Business, all housed at the University of Alabama. Again, thank you for joining. Welcome to the show. There's an idea out there that can't be measured empirically, but it's called, certainly can't be measured empirically, luck surface area. And I'm a big fan of this. I found it working for me. In fact, at the close of the show, I'm going to play you one of my Alabama Public Radio commentaries that features luck surface area. I recorded it last year, but it really comes into play with our guest today. I've been reading about this young man. He's in pursuit of his Eagle Scout, or Eagle Scout badge. We'll tell you more when you get him in the studio after this break. But he's done all the right things. He's knocked on all the right doors. He's gone about it with humility and passion at the same time. And in the process has found legions of people lining up to support him. His name is John Shell. His goal is to get these artificial reefs all around the Alabama coast so that they will filter the water, clean the water, and hopefully return some of the water around the Alabama coast to its original state back in the day. It's full of the water down here is full of a lot of silt, a lot of chemicals. And the old timers around here talk about the days where you could see through the water. It was crystal clear, kind of like some of those springs and rivers down in Florida. Now, if you've been around these parts, you know that it's not the case. There's a lot of sediment, a lot of silt, and again, some chemicals coming from upriver. These filter feeders that the reefs are designed to house to become shelters for will help clean the water and hopefully return it to its original state. It's going to take a lot of reefs, a lot of oysters, a lot of barnacles, all that stuff. But why not get started? John Shell is the one that's after it. He's after that Eagle Scout badge. And it's a story not only of trying to do the right thing, but having people learn about what you're doing, the passion with which he's pursuing it. His goals are not for himself personally, but for the entire region, and they've piled on. And this young man won my heart, if you will. He's got a great story. We'll get into that as soon as we get back from break. So if you hear the show and you decide you want to share it out there, I want to teach you how to get it because it's a wonderful one. Go to whatsworkingcam.com. That's the podcast site. You can see what we're up to there. Again, whatsworkingcam.com. And if you want to get in touch with him, you'll find his contact information on the podcast site where I've linked up his website. His name is John Shell, or I ask you to reach out directly to me and let me put in touch with him if you also want one of these artificial reefs, if you've got a place along the coast to put it. If you're listening in the northern half of the state, the Montgomery, Birmingham, or Huntsville markets out there, and you think this doesn't apply to me, it's something that I've learned is that the waters that I wade in down here fishing come from the northern part of the state. And if you like to vacation down here, if you value a white sandy beach, if you like good seafood when you come down locally bought, then this does indeed apply to you. This is what he's after, changing the environment of the Gulf Coast to benefit everybody that both lives and vacations and has some sort of stake in it. So email me directly, cam@cammarston.com, for an introduction to this young man or a pointer to his website, which we'll mention in the show. When we come back from break, John Shell, high school junior, seeking his Eagle Scout badge and has got a tiger by the tail. Before break, though, let's talk a little bit about the professionals, the team at Sander for Wealth. Not all advisors are held to the same standard. A fiduciary duty is the highest standard of care under the law. Only registered investment advisors always have a fiduciary duty to act in your best interest. Jamie Sandifer and Mark Salyers of Sandifer Wealth Management act as a fiduciary to all clients at all times. That fiduciary status and that CFP role, certified financial planner, very important to those looking to invest. And that's what I'm doing, looking to invest, trying to make sure my retirement is not taken care of, but is on the way. And that designation I know being very important. Again, Jamie Sandifer, Mark Salyers, Sandifer Wealth Management. Find them online. When we come back from break, John Shell. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is brought to you by the Alabama Center for Real Estate, housed in the Culver House College of Business, University of Alabama. Do you have an industrial or commercial construction project you're ready to make a reality? Person Services Corp is a diverse specialty contractor capable of tackling complex projects. They've won awards from Engineering News Record and the Association of General Contractors. If you're looking for a turnkey project management solution, advanced technologies, and skilled personnel you can trust, look no further than Persons Services Corp. Find out more at PersonsServices.com. We're back. You're listening to What's Working. In the studio today, John Shell is sitting across from me. He's going to tell us the story of his pursuit of the Eagle Scout badge. And when I asked him to be on the show, I thought this would be the first time something like this had happened to him. But in our short conversation, he's an old hat at media exposure, all being generated around the excitement for his pursuit of the Eagle Scout badge and what he's doing. But before we get into that, What's Working is brought to you by the Alabama Center for Real Estate, housed in the Culver House College of Business, all housed at the University of Alabama. John, thank you for your time. Welcome to What's Working.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm glad you're here. So let's begin talking about this project of yours. And I've read quite a bit about it, but I want you to explain to the listeners where it originated, how it originated, and where it is now.
So it all started when I was at a Boy Scout meeting, and we were talking about Eagle projects because I was already in line for the next Eagle. So I started researching, and I found this biologist in Florida. And after he retired, he started making these artificial reefs that help boost the canals in Florida. Before, they weren't clear. There wasn't a lot of ecosystems in it, not a lot of fish. But after like 6 years, all the canals are so clear. They're beautiful. There's so many fish. The ecosystem is thriving.
Let's step back here. I want to get in, pick up on that. But tell me how long you'd been in the Scouts prior to this year.
So I've been in it ever since sixth grade.
Sixth grade. So you've been in about 5 years. You're an ingoing 11th grader, correct?
Yes, sir.
So about 5 years-ish, let's say, and you began the Scouts with the hope someday of pursuing the Eagle Scout badge, or is it something that you looked up and said, oh, it's now time to try for this?
In my opinion, Boy Scouts is to thrive for Eagle.
Is to go for Eagle. Okay, so when you, beginning of the summer, let's say, you began researching and you came across this guy in South Florida, tell me his name.
Mr. Wolf.
Mr. Wolf. And how did you find him?
I was just looking in, researching different types of environmental projects, because I've always loved the environment. I've always wanted to help as much as I can. My family recycles. I do love fishing too, so those things kind of went together when I saw that these reefs increased the fish populations of the area.
But you could have Googled 1,000 things and gotten 10,000 results. How did you land on him? And was he expecting your call? Had he had calls from potential scouts before?
No, not that I know of.
Yeah. So when you called him, what did you say?
I said, Mr. Wolf, tell me about your reefs. Because I did look up them online, but I wanted to know what they were about from him.
Yeah.
He was running the whole thing. His sons work for him a little bit too, but it's a really big business and it's all over the coast.
It's all over the Florida coast or the U.S. coast?
The Florida coast.
And is the goal of these reefs that he's making purely to clear the water, like what you said you saw?
The oysters and barnacles that grow on it do filter out like millions of gallons of water per year. But the ecosystems that thrive from it, the oysters that attach to it, the little fish that are attracted to the oysters, and then the bigger fish, it makes a whole ecosystem. And it does clean up the water, and it makes all population thrive.
So you found this gentleman, Mr. Wolf. You learned what he was doing, and you were curious about it. Tell me do you know how he stumbled onto these reefs?
You'd have to ask him that.
Yeah, and tell me what the reef looks like.
Well, it is 4 feet by 3 feet. The top part is like a very big weight, not a weight. It's like a flotation device. And then PVC runs to the bottom on all four corners. And there's separate layers of corrugated polypropylene, which is like, it feels like campaign sign material.
Corrugated polypropylene.
Yes.
Okay, please continue.
So the corrugated polypropylene, it is made into campaign sign like shapes.
Uh-huh.
And there are multiple layers of it with rope holding them in place. So the reef sits on the top of the water and floats, and it doesn't touch the bottom, because sometimes in some places there are oyster drills that kill all the oysters when they attach to them.
Uh-huh.
So it floats, and oysters, barnacles, other things float onto it, and they can attach to the corrugated polypropylene really well.
Oh, so that product, the corrugated polypropylene, is there because it's easy for an oyster or a barnacle to attach to.
Yes.
Yes. So these artificial reefs are handmade. They float upright. You said the top was buoyant, right?
Yes.
And I'm picturing something. They drape down kind of like bunk beds.
Yeah.
Big square bunk beds. How many levels are there?
There's usually three.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can attach as many as you want.
So this man, remind me of his name again?
Mr. Wolf.
Mr. Wolf created these things and began to set them in the canals and the waterways in and around South Florida. And in time, they saw that the water cleared up. And it was the oysters and the barnacles that were filtering that water that was causing it to clear. Is that right?
That is correct.
How long does a reef last?
You don't have to check up on it.
I mean, is it going to be 100 years from now, or the reef's going to be there?
I mean, I can't answer that exactly, but if you're living on the coast, you probably are going to worry about things like storms and stuff. But some of these things have survived storms.
Yeah.
Like, some of them have been down there for like 6 years untouched.
So you saw Mr. Wolf, what he was doing. You reached out to him. It's a bold move for an 11th grader to do, is to call a stranger. At least my children would struggle with that. And to say, tell me a little bit about your project. And he told you about him. And when did you decide, I want this somehow to help me achieve Eagle Scout?
It was probably around April-ish, May.
Yeah. And tell me how that conversation went.
So
tell me what happened when you determined that's what you wanted to do.
So I started writing down what it was going to be like if I did this, how big I wanted it, and how many I needed. So the first goal was 50 of them.
Yeah.
And then the next one was 100. And so I started to calculate the costs and all of that, and it was going to be a lot. Because these reefs themselves cost $300 to $400.
$300 to $400 for one.
For one.
Yeah.
But with the money that we raised from local foundations, it subsidized it to
$100. $100. No kidding. I want to hear about that as well. So you went to him and you said, I want these reefs to be a part of my Eagle Scout project. Was he grateful? Tell me what his reaction was.
He was thrilled. I mean, he was able to, this is what he does. He's retired now. So when he gets to go and do this and help people, it just, it's really nice.
It's what he enjoys doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you said, I live on the Alabama Gulf Coast. We have a lot of waterfront footage. I like to fish. The ecology is a big part of my passion. I want these reefs. And did he tell you how to begin selling them? Did he say, here's the language to use? Tell me how he helped you get started.
So basically, he lives so far away that it wasn't really easy to like deliver everything and do all that stuff. So I went to my dad for help.
Yeah.
He's a businessman, so he knows how to speak his way into anything almost.
Yep. I've spoken to your father. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So keep going. And what did your dad do?
He basically told me what he would do in this situation because he really liked the project and he thought that I was going to do really well with it and it'd be one of the best Eagle projects that there have been in a long time.
Yeah. And so he supported it. Thumbs up, son. Good idea. How do we begin from here? And then what happened after that?
So we did the math, like I said, and I had to get permission from multiple people so that I could start my Eagle project, so I could start it all.
And who would those people be? Are these part of the scouts?
Yes, sir. My scoutmaster, and then like the person who always signs off on them. And then Chris Blankenship.
Mm-hmm. So they were the ones that said that you had to pitch the project to.
Yes.
And then once the project was approved, you could get started on it. Is that the way that works?
Yes, sir.
So let's come back from break in a moment and talk about the fact that you had to fill out forms for these foundations, right? And these foundations, I filled out some forms for foundations. They asked some pretty tough questions from time to time. How you got that information together and what it was like when that foundation came back with the thumbs up. I also know from the rumor mill around this town that your Eagle Scout project has exploded with success. And you guys are seeing extraordinary orders that you had never thought you'd get. And the problem no longer is, can we get enough orders, but how do we now fill these orders? Is that about right?
That is true.
Let's talk about that story when we come back. I'm in the studio today with John Schell, incoming junior, high school junior here in Mobile, talking about his Eagle Scout project, which has captured the hearts of many around here. And we're all pulling for this young man. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. We'll be back after this break. What's Working is brought to you by the Alabama Center for Real Estate at the Culver House College of Business, all housed at the University of Alabama.
This is Bill Wasden, labor and employment attorney at Burr & Foreman. With offices across Alabama, our attorneys are keenly aware of employment situations in a state with under 3% unemployment. Employers have faced many obstacles over the last 2 years, and new processes and policies must be in place to ensure you're setting clear expectations for your employees. We've created a list of the top 5 legal and operating issues facing employers in 2022 that will, ultimately, ensure your company is prepared for a data breach, the Great Resignation, new presidential executive orders, or potential overtime rule changes. Reach out to me at bwasden@burr.com, that's burr.com, or my partner Katie Willis, kwillis@burr.com, for this information. Burr attorneys are here to help you with your labor and employment law needs.
No representation is made that the quality of the legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers. We're back. You're listening to What's Working. In the studio today with John Schell, maybe an Eagle Scout. He hasn't been awarded that badge yet, but things seem to be going his way. His project is called The Eagle Reef, and you can find it at theeaglereef.com. We'll talk more about that. What's Working is brought to you by the Alabama Center for Real Estate at the Culver House College of Business at the University of Alabama. John, you had to fill out these proposals, applications to these foundations in and around town. And that can be a difficult thing to do. I mean, you're obviously an intelligent guy. School seems to be going your way from what I can gather. But even so, as an 11th grader, or even as a 10th grader, perhaps, you had to start filling these applications out. Tell me about that.
So the reason, like, it is really complicated, and all these forms, there's so many of them. So I tried, and I started officially doing it in the summer.
Yeah.
So that I would have time to do all these hard questions and things like that. So one of the main questions was why? Why do you need this money?
What a great question. Tell me what your answer to that one was.
So I wrote down, I want to help not just the Mobile environment, but the entire Alabama coast. It would help everyone, and it would boost, it might bring the seagrass back. Like, that's a really big thing in the ecosystems of coastal Alabama.
So there are people listening in Montgomery and Birmingham and Huntsville. Tell them what the seagrass means. I know, but I want them to know. Tell them about the seagrass.
So the seagrass is either, sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not, but it's a crucial environment for most of the marine life in coastal Alabama / like Bama, Florida area. And what we're trying to do with these reefs is to help the ecosystem as much as we can. If the seagrass comes back, that might be like awesome.
So the seagrass grows on the bottom of Mobile Bay, it used to, and in and around Dauphin Island, in and around the Perdido Bay and stuff like that, and it slowly disappeared. Mm-hmm. Do they know the cause of the disappearance of the seagrass?
I don't know myself.
Well, I've heard it's a lot of silt and some chemicals that come down the rivers from upriver, the Alabama and the Tom Bigbee waterways, and have slowly eroded. My father loves telling the stories of when he was a child growing up on Mobile Bay. The water was perfectly clear, and you could see the seagrass underneath it. Now you can't do that anymore. How will the reefs create or recreate the seagrass?
So the reefs, their main purpose is to harbor filter feeders like oysters, barnacles, literally anything that filters out water and just sits there, that's what's going to grow on it. And so when they filter out the water, they're going to be filtering out a lot of these like bad chemicals in the water.
Filtering out the chemicals in the sediments in the water. Yeah.
And it's going to make it clearer, and it's going to make the seagrass hopefully start returning to the rest of the Alabama coast.
One of the great bay people around here, a man named Jimbo Metter, says with each generation, they forget, they don't realize how much it's changed. He can remember, like my father, days when the water was clear, and each generation is unaware of how much the bay has changed. So you're taking a stake in returning the bay and the coastal waters to that, using this Eagle Scout project as the process. So you had to answer the question of, why is this important to me, to you? Why do you want to do this? And you told them in the application process that you might want to see the seagrass come back, correct?
Some of them, yes.
Yeah, so keep going. Why else do you want to do it?
So I love fishing since I was like four, when my dad first took me fishing. And sometimes we would even be able just to go out on my grandfather's dock, and we would fish for fish, and we would catch them.
Yeah.
And we would get crabs too. And it was a whole fun experience. But now when I go out to the dock, it is a really long time before you see a fish.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make more fish and have people have more fun when they go to the beach rather than going just to the sand, where a lot of the places around places like Perdido Bay, there aren't a lot of sand because people use rocks to get the waves and stuff. And
yeah.
I just really wanted the fish to come all over and not just close to the Gulf.
So you wanted to return to the days where you as a child remember catching a bunch of fish and not having to sit on that dock and wait for fish a long period of time. And it's not because your dad has caught all the fish. It's because the fish have gone.
Yeah, I'm starting to see less of them, but hopefully with these reefs, I already put two of them out under the dock, actually.
Yeah.
And I've caught more fish now than I have in a long time.
No kidding. Two reefs under your own dock have brought that many more fish in. Tell me about these reefs. You've told me what they look like and how they're set up, but what is their potential? The filtering process, what can it do?
Well, so the oysters themselves, if 100 of these reefs go out, they filter out like 11 million gallons of water.
11 million gallons
per year.
That's an extraordinary amount. So that assumes a fully populated reef that's been in the water for how long does it take for these oysters and barnacles to get a toehold on a reef?
Around 6 months.
6 months and the reef is fully functioning and it's now filtering of 11 million gallons a year. And you want how many in the Alabama Gulf Coast?
Well, I want 1,000. But my project itself is getting around 150 of them.
Yeah. And there are a lot of people listening. Even the people from the northern part of the state who vacation down here, they want fresh seafood. They want to step out in a dock when they're vacationing here, cast out a line and catch something. So this is important to them too. This 11 million gallons times 100, that's an extraordinary amount of water that would be filtered. How much? Do you have any idea how much water needs to be filtered to really make a difference?
Well, I would have to work with some of the researchers at the Dolphin Island Sea Lab, which I already have. They also have two of them under their dock, and they're studying them. The students there are able to study them, and we can't really calculate that number until we've actually seen what they're capable of.
Yeah. So these reefs are slowly beginning to be deployed as a result of what you're doing here. So let's talk about how many orders you've received. I know you said you initially wanted 50, then 100. How many orders for reefs have you received?
We have received 155 orders so far.
Orders for 100. So you've exceeded...
Orders for 155 reefs.
You've exceeded your goal.
Yes.
And where will those reefs come from? Will they be manufactured down in Florida?
They will be... All the parts will be brought here. Some will be already built. Some will be like in kits. They're little kits. So... very soon, one of these days, I'm going to get a group of people together, going to put it out on the internet and say that we're going to have a build day. And we're going to put all these reefs together. So like probably like 90 of them.
Yeah. So where are the supplies right now? Are the supplies still being pulled together in Florida or are they in your garage?
They are currently being delivered.
Uh-huh. So they're in transit right now. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a truckload of stuff, you know. It's going to be a huge order.
It is.
And you seem like a nice and popular guy, but do you have that many friends that will put together reefs for you for that many days?
I don't think anyone can have that many friends to pull this off.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for volunteers anywhere that I can.
So this reef project went from you wanting to filter some water because you like, you're passionate about the ecology and you like to see the Alabama coastal waters return to perhaps the way they used to be. And it turns out in order to achieve this, you've had to learn how to call strangers, write a proposal for something you've never written before when I think about the foundations, and now seek volunteers in order to get it all done. This thing has kind of exploded on you, huh?
Yes, it has.
Tell me how much money you've raised.
So we have raised around like $33,000. And it's still rising because people are still ordering them. People are still paying for them and donating for them. And it's growing very big. And I start school on Thursday.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to work with somebody, because I know I'm not going to be able to maintain this project throughout the entire school year. But I really hope someone else will.
So your father's fairly senior in his organization. He can probably just cash in all his vacation and do this for you. Don't you think he'd be willing to do that?
I think he'd be willing to, but I don't think I want him to.
There you go. That's a better answer than that. So $30,000-some-odd. So the people that are writing checks, are they writing them to the Boy Scouts? How are they doing that?
So we are filtering checks and donations through St. Paul's Episcopal School, because that is where my troop goes, and it's a nonprofit organization, so we're allowed to move the money through there.
Yeah, and they're stewarding it for you and keeping you abreast of how much has been raised. Yeah. So you got money from foundations. Tell me which foundations were very eager to help you.
So like the Heron Chandler Foundation helped a lot. I think a congressman donated $5,000.
No kidding. Their own money or somebody else's money? That probably wasn't an appropriate question. We don't try not to get into politics in this show, but yeah. That's always the question that I think everybody wants to know. Nevertheless, when did you have a sense that this might work?
So when we built the website, it wasn't as well made as it is now, and we were hoping just to get at most 100 people, because the project, it didn't look as promising as it does now, to me at least. Yeah. But now it's like everywhere.
Yeah.
I hear it everywhere.
Well, when we come back from break, I want to talk to you about somebody that I heard that heard of your project up east. And they're thinking, this kid down in Alabama, Eagle Scout. And suddenly you're somewhat famous in that regard. And we'll talk about that when we get back after break. You're listening to What's Working in the studio. Young man John Shell, incoming high school junior, seeking an Eagle Scout badge, has stumbled on something that's caught the passions of so many people around here. When we come back, John, I want to explain to you my theory of luck, surface area, and how you embody it. His project is called TheEagleReef.com. Check it out. Make his donation. When we come back, we'll get into this more. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is brought to you by the Alabama Center for Real Estate at the Culver House College of Business, all housed at the University of Alabama. Person Services Corp is a diverse specialty contractor that's changing how people think about general contractors. Person Services Corp has experts in industrial and general construction, disaster recovery, infrastructure, and mechanical. They offer the latest in industry technology, turnkey project management services, and custom project solutions. Person Services Corp has 5 offices across the Southeast to meet you anywhere your project demands. Find them at PersonsServices.com. Customer service never goes out of style. In fact, I think it's safe to say that customer service is more valuable and more important now more than ever. Hi, this is Cam Marston. One thing that my over 200 episodes of What's Working has taught me is how important customer service is to building and maintaining a thriving business. It's the growing need for customer service that's led me to partner with one of the state's leading customer service trainers to create our program called Delivering 5-Star Customer Service. Your team will get one 90-minute training session per month for 6 consecutive months. Each session builds on the skills learned the previous month, allowing your customer-facing teams to practice before moving on to the next lesson. And the 6 lessons address everything from appearance to electronic communications to conflict resolution to maintaining a service mindset. Our program travels and is delivered in person at your workplace, nothing virtual. You simply can't practice the level of the skills this course teaches virtually. For more information, email me, cam@cammarston.com, and let's schedule a time to talk. Remember, you have less to fear from outside competition than you do from discourtesy and bad service from inside your own company. Again, email me, cam@cammarston.com, and let's talk about your business. We're back. You're listening to What's Working. It's brought to you by the Alabama Center for Real Estate at the Culver House College of Business at the University of Alabama. John Shell is with me today in the studio. He's telling a wonderful story as a high school junior, now a high school junior, began this when he was at the tail end of his high school sophomore year. He's seeking an Eagle badge from the Boy Scouts, and he stumbled upon something that he's titled, and you can find his website, The Eagle Reef. TheEagleReef.com is what his website is, and has captured the passions of many people along the Gulf Coast, and I know you'll enjoy it as well. John, it was in talking to someone around here, I don't remember, who said that some child in the Northeast, I don't mean that dismissively, some young man in the Northeast was eager figuring out what to do for his Eagle Scout badge and had heard about you in the Northeast corridor, way away from here. And somehow they've the passion in which you've pursued this has captured a lot of people out there. Did you ever suspect that would happen?
No. And I had no idea. My uncle lives in Vermont, and his son is in a Boy Scout troop, and he told me when he was visiting that one of his scoutmasters heard about it.
Yeah.
And I was just like in awe because I was so surprised that it got up that far.
Yeah. But I think, and I want to go into this. This is something that I refer to, and I've heard this before. This is not my term. It's called the luck surface area. And that is when you pursue something with passion and let people know when you choose to not take shortcuts, the world kind of finds a way for you to succeed. And that's what seems to happen here. You've pursued this with passion. You're doing it for the right reasons. You're helping people in the process, and the world is finding a way for you to succeed at doing it. So right now, as we record this, it's still early August. I'm not sure when this will be broadcast. You said the next step is to find somebody to help manage this for you. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Who would that person need to be? Is it a volunteer? Is it a marine biologist? Is it the... Tell me what qualities this individual will need to have.
So what we're looking for is some thing or organization or a person who has a lot of friends.
Yeah.
That has the manpower to maintain delivery, like organization. Like, I have an Excel spreadsheet with everything on it, and if it keeps going to like 1,000, I think we're gonna need something a little bigger than that.
So tell me, it's 1,000 what? It's 1,000 names? It's 1,000?
1,000 reefs.
1,000 reefs. So each one of those reefs could potentially have someone that has purchased the reef. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. And will they, I guess I asked this, but I'm unclear. I don't remember the answer. Let's assume my name is on that list. In the mail, am I going to get a reef? Or am I going to get somebody knocking on the door going, your reef is here?
So it really depends on what you want, because some people aren't always at their beach houses or at home. So we try to coordinate delivery the best that we can. Delivery so far has been me and my dad going out on the boat and delivering them to people.
Oh, really? You're delivering from the water?
Mm-hmm.
How neat.
Yeah.
Are you helping people install those reefs on their docks?
Yes. So far, I have been installing a good bit of them.
Are you wading in the water while you install them?
Yes.
Yeah, and are you tying it to the top of the dock? How is it actually being affixed to the dock?
So what you need is you have to have four pylons that in a rectangle or a square, just close enough together so that you can tie the ropes. So what you tie to the reef ropes out into a ring of floats, and it floats as the tide goes up and down, the floats go up and down with it. So
yeah,
it's not like pulling on it or pushing on it.
Right, right.
So they're not a lot of knots, but you do have to know what you're doing to do it in the water at the same time.
So do you have a learner or an explainer video on YouTube or something like that? Is you can just hand them the reef and say, click this link and you can figure out how to set it up?
That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, is that soon. What's next? Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to me that your idea about this reef thing now has you making YouTube videos and managing volunteers and stuff like that. Did you ever think this would happen?
No.
All right.
I had no clue.
You're an 11th grader. What is this? And this is an unfair question to ask a young man your age, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What has this taught you about people?
So what I learned about people is that they talk a lot. So when my projects first started, I tried to get the word out through my friends and neighbors who were also on the coast, our neighbor's dock, our neighbor's like friends. And I was shocked how quickly it spread just by word of mouth alone. And like two, 3 months in, I had like 50 orders, around 60 orders already. And I was so surprised.
Like, yeah. Yeah. You can't get this much from Santa Claus, who's supposed to be more generous. Yeah. And these people are writing checks and taking delivery of reefs.
Yes.
Yeah. So where do you hope this ends? You're going to turn it over, hopefully, to somebody. Where do you hope it ends?
I hope it ends with whatever organization or whatever person takes it up, they continue it as not like a business, but like a nonprofit organization that is constantly delivering the reefs. And overall, I want the Alabama coast and some of the Florida coast to really just come back.
Yeah, to see it the way it used to be. We hear stories about that. My father tells stories about Gulf Shores when it was a 2-lane dirt road, and now it's like a 7-lane paved highway. I haven't been down there in so long. The traffic's so bad. I choose to go to Dauphin Island. We had a small house at Dauphin Island. My father, my brothers, and I shared the house. And when I learned about your reef project, I was very interested. And I have brought you my own check today. So we want one or two for our little house on Dauphin Island. And I didn't know who to fill it out to. So I made it out and I put a number down that we could afford there. And I want to get a couple of reefs, in one at least, for our own house. Because my children and my nephews and my nieces fish off the dock at our little house, the half a house called the Condominimal in Dauphin Island. And we used to catch a lot of fish, and now we don't catch as many as we used to. And I want my grandchildren someday to stand on that dock, cast a line out, and have their rod pull something out of the water. And if you're the one that makes it happen, I'll be forever grateful to you, my friend. I'm proud of you and the work that you've done. You're doing it for the right reason. You're a good man.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
TheEagleReef.com, everybody. I want you to check it out. TheEagleReef.com. John Schell has got his picture there. I'll be promoting it on social media. If you hear this, find me on social media. You can find links to his project there. He sounds overwhelmed, but I know he could take a few more donations, and there's always more reefs to be done. He'll have figured out how to get them to you by the time this show airs. Can I say that with confidence, John?
I think so.
I think so. Folks, help the man out. He's a young man worth the effort, and he will hopefully achieve his Eagle Scout badge. I wish you the best.
Thank you.
We'll be back after this break. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marsden, brought to you by the Alabama Center for Real Estate at the Culver House College of Business, all housed at the University of Alabama.
This is Bill Wasden, labor and employment attorney at Burr & Foreman. With offices across Alabama, our attorneys are keenly aware of employment situations in a state with under 3% unemployment. Employers have faced many obstacles over the last 2 years, and new processes and policies must be in place to ensure you're setting clear expectations for your employees. We've created a list of the top 5 legal and operating issues facing employers in 2022 that will, ultimately, ensure your company is prepared for a data breach, the Great Resignation, new presidential executive orders, or potential overtime rule changes. Reach out to me at bwasden@burr.com, that's burr.com, or my partner Katie Willis, kwillis@burr.com, for this information. Burr attorneys are here to help you with your labor and employment law needs.
No representation is made that the quality of the legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Hey, this is Bill Wasden, and when I'm not in court or in the office, I'm listening to What's Working with Cam Marsden. Now, back to the show.
The website is TheEagleReef.com. Again, TheEagleReef.com. On that site, you can find the story that we just told. You can find information on John. You can find ways to contact them if it's important to you. This radio show is not a sales-oriented show, but when I find something that really captures my heart, as I said in the opening, I'm like, let's give them the microphone. Let's give them a megaphone if we possibly can and help this young man out. And I loved what I heard and the passion that he had behind what he's doing. His parents, I'll tell you, have turned a lot of this over to them. It would be easy for them to micromanage it. But in setting this interview up with John, his parents were very clear to say, we're turning it over. It's part of the project, is turning this over to him. The interviews, the money collection, the arrangements with the reef manufacturer. And it's exactly what you want to see. It's exactly what you see. John, good on you, my man. Good on you. If I can ever be of help again, my friend, I hope you'll give me a call. What we're going to wrap up with today is that commentary that I wrote a while back on luck surface area. I'm a big believer in it. It's not empirically measurable. But when you go after something with gusto and you tell everybody about it the right way and you don't cross any, you don't take any shortcuts, you cross all the T's and dot all the I's, things begin to work out for you. I think it was Dale Carnegie said, the world begins to make space for people who have a noble purpose and pursue it with passion. And that's exactly what we see with John. This commentary aired on Alabama Public Radio. My commentaries air there weekly on Friday mornings and afternoon. You can find them as podcasts as well. And it's going to be the wrap up of the show. Producer of What's Working is John Thompson with Ion Digital. Find us on all the social medias and love to have your follow. Now, into the commentary from last year called Luck Surface Area. What's Working is brought to you by the Alabama Center for Real Estate. Another of my wife's volleyball seasons ended yesterday. She's the varsity coach at a high school here in Mobile. Last year, my daughter was a senior on her team, and I was glued to the team's progress. This year, I assumed that since I didn't have a player on the court, I wouldn't get caught up in it like I did last year. I was wrong. Tuesday, the matches were streamed online from Birmingham, and I was surprised to find myself screaming encouragements at the TV, arguing with the refs, and hollering at my wife to call timeouts when the momentum shifted to the opponent. When my wife's team won the final point that advanced them to the state championship game, I should have realized my son was recording my reaction. He sent the video to my wife, and her comment later was that I need to buy some bigger t-shirts. I haven't seen the video, but apparently my belly burst forth during my celebration, which is something no one should ever have to see, including me. The next day, my children and I and a bunch of fans hurried to Birmingham to watch our team fight hard but lose to a very talented, very athletic, and very tall team from Mountain Brook. Even with the loss, after the final point, there was little sadness from my wife's team or from the players' parents. The team had outperformed all expectations. The season was a win. I've learned that when someone or some group puts their heart, their attention, their energy into an effort, that effort creates its own gravitational pull. That focused energy and effort creates fans who will move heaven and earth to help them succeed. I heard this phenomenon referred to once as increasing your luck surface area. When you put your heart into something and pursue it with gusto, work hard, take no shortcuts, you increase your luck surface area. Lucky breaks start coming your way, largely from people buying in and wanting to share your energy. It leads to them wanting to get involved. They want to contribute to and they want to feel like they're a part of your success. Opportunities land in your lap due to your increased luck surface area. It begins with letting people see that you're all in, letting them see your work. And I've tried to adopt this concept of luck surface area by sharing some new business goals with people who can help. I'm showing them my work. I'm showing them my commitment. And it's working. They're thinking of me and calling with ideas and offering introductions to others who can help. For my business ventures, my luck surface area is increasing. It's pretty cool. It's pretty exciting. And I'd like to say that next year I'll watch volleyball dispassionately. However, I'll see how hard the team and the coaches work, and I'll be all in again. This time, though, in a bigger t-shirt. I'm Cam Marston, and I'm just trying to keep it real.